Chazakas. Chazakas is a world that you could probably go in, like, in learning, it's like going down the rabbit hole. You can never get out. It's possible. Now, as opposed to most rabbit holes that most of us have the danger of getting into, this is not a bad rabbit hole. But you do want to perhaps be covering, you know, it's another way of covering large parts of Shas, just not consecutive. So, just to review one, I want to mention to you one piece before we start about chazakos. We've spoken about this already, that there are usually at least two kinds of chazakos. We've established a third, actually, in our previous discussions, and it's going to come back here. There is a chazaka, the asim mikoach ruba, and then there is a status quo chazaka. What's the difference between those two? I mean, obviously the difference in what they are, but one better way of putting it, if there's one particular case, very important issue you should be aware of, Tosfos on Nida, in Nida Daf Beis Amud Beis, I didn't give you the Tosfos because that would have gone, that would go too far afield, but Tosfos has a very interesting comment, it's a big machlokas harishonim, Supposing you have a cow that produces milk and you make cheese. It doesn't really matter if you make the cheese or not, but that's what they used to do. You make cheese from that cow. And then you shech the cow and the cow turns out to be a treifa. What is the status of that cheese? Now, if we know that the cow had to have been a treifa before, let me step back one moment. What's the problem with the cheese potentially? Because the halacha is hayotzim and hatame tame. If something comes out of a non-kosher animal, that substance isn't kosher. That's why the Gemara has difficulty explaining why is it that honey is mutter. And why is milk in general mutter? Honey, because it comes out of bees, and milk, because it comes out of an animal that is either Eiver Menachai or it's Enes Shchuta, Enes Rucha. The Gemara in Bechoros, I think Davav, deals with that particular issue. But everybody agrees that if you have an animal that's a treifa, that produces milk, the milk is asur to eat. It's an isur asay. It's not an isur los asay, it's an isur asay. Hayotzi min atame tame. If a chicken is a treifa and it produces an egg, it lays an egg, so the egg is also us. So here you have this milk or this cheese that came from the cow. So if you know that when you milked it, it must have been a treifa. For example, the cow has only three legs from birth. You don't see the cut. You see it's just a deformed cow. You know that when you milk the cow, don't ask me why you missed it when you were milking the cow or up until this point, but you know that the cow is a treifa, and therefore the milk and the cheese is not kosher. Okay. What happens if you don't know? What happens if you don't know whether the milk, whether the cow, when it became a treifa? Now, the halacha generally is that famous statement, I think, of Rav Huna in the first perek in Chulin. Behema b'chaya b'cheskas iser omedes, ad sheivad alacha b'meh nishchata. A behema, when it's alive, is b'cheskas iser until you know that it was shechted properly. Meaning any suffix that was no lot in the shechita, whether it was nishchat properly or not, the animal is going to be not kosher. Nishchata, once it is shechted, so it's becheskas kashrus at sheivad alecha b'menitrefa, until you know how it became a treifa. Meaning, if you know that it became a treifa before the animal died, that's fine. But if you, if the fox grabbed some organ of the animal, and then by the time you recovered the organ, it has holes in it, Our assumption is that the fox is what put it there. All sorts of cases you would have like that. So the question is, the animal, once it's nishchat, has cheskas kashrus. Now, does that have any impact upon the cheese? So on the surface, the answer is no, it doesn't. In other words, if you find an animal, let me put it this way. If you dissect your animal, you do bedika on your animal, and you find a trefa that didn't happen after it died. It's not a puncture that some animal put in it. You find the some type of hole in one of the stomachs. Now, when do we assume that trefa happened? Now remember that the behema. So the question is the following. On the one hand, even if we can establish that the behema had a cheskas not being a trefa, it is a trefa now. Now how want we establish that the animal has a chazaka of not being a trefa? Well, there's a simple way. How old will a cow be when it might typically be producing milk? Give me an age.
Three.
If you have a cow that is 3 years old, does it at any point have a chazaka of not being a trefa? Ellie?
At least up until 2 years and 1 day.
So we paskin, there's a machlokas, but we paskin like the simple reading of the Mishnah, that trefa ain't a chaya. So if I have an animal that's 3 years old, a cow that's 3 years old, I know that it wasn't a trefa. Earliest it could have been a trefa was a year ago. Which means that when this animal was 1 year old and 2 year old, it was definitely a ksheira. Which would mean on the surface that there is in fact a cheskas kashrus to the animal. Now that I find it this way, now that I find it to be a trefa after I shechted it, maybe I should say that the animal became a trefa at the last possible moment. Why? Because if you have a status quo chazaka, and the only thing you know is that something changed, when do you assume that it changed? When you know that it did, at the last possible moment. If you find sirchas, adhesions in the lungs of the animal, and those don't happen overnight, those take a little time, so you would get your best veterinary opinion to say that these look like they've been here at least 2 weeks. Then you know for sure the last 2 weeks of the animal's life. Any milk from the animal would be treif. But what happens when you don't know? Or better said, you don't know how long. So Tosfos here makes an incredible claim in Nida. Let me ask you the question. Would you say that there's a status quo chazaka that the animal's not a trefa? And now that it became a trefa, you assume that it became a trefa at the last possible moment. What would you say? What would you have said? The answer is yes. Tosfos makes a remarkable claim. Tosfos says that there is no status quo chazaka here. Why? Because there's no point that the chazaka is mevureres. I look at the cow today. Is the cow a trefa? Is the cheskas being kosher now or not? The answer is no. In other words, you have no idea what it is today. You know when it's 3 years old now that when it was 1 year old, it definitely wasn't a trefa. The only way to have a status quo chazaka means you know something for a fact, and now it's changed, and you want either you assume it hasn't changed, right? I closed the Gemara, I assume it's still above a vasu inside, the mouth hasn't come and switched it. I can't make that assumption if I didn't look the first time to know that it was above a vasu in it. Now, So, and I'm not sure any of the Rishonim necessarily disagree with Tosus about that point. To be considered a status quo Hazaka, it's not enough to know now, looking back, that at some point there had to be. You have to, B'shaito, be able to look at it and say, right now, I know this animal's not a Trefa. And there was no point at which you could do that. Ephraim? Yeah, the point is, when she, the day she was born, Beis Din wasn't there, but it didn't matter. The day she was born, you could have said for sure she was a Panuya. She had Cheskes Panuya. But here, you don't know the animal wasn't born a Trefa. You don't know for sure. You never have, at the time that it has a Chazaka, you never know. Ellie?
The question, therefore, is not that anyone knows, but that is able to be known. That's the problem here?
It has. You have to be able to point to have a status quo Chazaka, Tosfos claims. It has to be Muhuveres B'Shaito.
Does that mean anyone at the time had to have known, or just that someone could have known?
Could have known. You don't need to have, you know, this animal could, if the, if this, if you didn't, if that weren't the problem, per se, this could have been a wild cow that lived in the forest that nobody ever met.
Right.
But the point is, even if the wild cow in the forest had met people, we wouldn't know that it wasn't the Trefa, because you don't know. You never know.
Open then?
What?
Couldn't you have cut it open then? And then you would know.
You're changing, in effect, what was. In other words, the presence of a person or not is not relevant. In other words, I don't know if I understand what you're asking, but you're changing the you're doing something different. You can't have such a suffix now, Ellie, if someone had cut it open then. Right? You could ask me a better question, which is
Natalie.
Yes. But I would say that even in other words, it has to be. No, I don't think your question is even right. It has to be that if a person were to look at this cow, then they would be able to tell. In other words, why do we have a status quo? Why might we have a chazaka here? Because I know now that back then it wasn't a trefa; it was becheskes kashrus, and a chazaka being. I knew for sure that it wasn't the Trefa a year ago. But had I been there a year ago, I wouldn't have known. With the girl, whether I was there or not, had I been there, just when she was born, I would have known she had a Cheskes Panuya. Elie Melech.
Maybe Trefa is not the best example because by definition, you can only know what it was prior. You can never establish.
You don't have a status quo chazaka. Unless if you gave it an MRI and you saw everything was intact, then it would have a status quo chazaka. It would have achieved the status quo chazaka. Alpha?
Does Tosfos still think that if the animal produced milk from over a year ago that turns to cheese, that would be kosher?
Yeah, of course. Because that's vadai, that's not a suffix.
It's creating a new category.
The point is, if the cheese was aged 12 months, if the cheese, my Eitza, you know, Rosh Hashanah doesn't, I think still doesn't have to drink dairy products, right? So there were a lot of people who tried to persuade him, you know, why it shouldn't be a problem. But I didn't try this as a method of persuasion. The problem is the lungs were full of sirchas. The lungs of the milking cows are full of sirchas, which should lead you to question how we treat milking cows. Because they would check them after their, however long they milked them. They milked them for several years, and when they stopped producing, you know, so much milk, then they would send them to the slaughterhouse. So initially they would check them and discover that their lungs, you know, were full of sirchas. So they don't even bother having sheep, they just send it to the non-kosher slaughterhouse in the first place.
All
milking cows. That's what they think they do. That's what they do, because there's no point in sending them to the shofi, because you know, obis kimat vaday, they're going to have sirchas, which sirchas don't automatically render what?
Probably like 5% or something.
No, that's under normal situations.
Yeah, okay.
Not with, that's what I'm saying. It must, it raises questions about how these animals are being, you know, treated. So my suggestion, which is not to be taken seriously, but should be true, although Shechter would have a response, is all we need to do is, when the cows are done milking, instead of immediately send them to the slaughterhouse, put them out to pasture for a year. You and I both know they're not going to die, I mean, normally. And if they get out to pasture for a year after we stop milking them, this is your question, Alter, then you know for sure that all the milk will have been kosher. Now, what's at the heart of the problem is that you know the animals are not dying from these sirchas. They're not dying within a year. And a sircha itself, when there's adhesion between the lobes, doesn't automatically render the animal trefa. The concern is that sircha represents something that healed, a hole in the lung, and the hole, even though it closed up, would be trefa. So the reality is, I know the sirchas aren't. If you assume that a trefa has to die within 12 months, which is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, trefa ain't a chaya, then you know that these animals, even without a bedika, you know these animals aren't trefas. They're not dying from these. So Rav Shechter said, well, maybe we should paskin trefa ain't a chaya, which is a very radical position. You know, when the Rashba was, I'm not saying that critically, when the Rashba said, the Rashba was confronted with evidence, not a strong evidence, he went berserk and said, they're lying, they're making it up, or they're in error because it can't be Chazal wrong. The Rashba didn't think to say, okay, maybe we should paskin trefa chaya. He didn't say that. And he stuck with the standard fact, trefa ain't a chaya. So Alter, there's no question that the milk, the cheese that's from more than a year, that's not a suffix, that's a vadai. The problem is we know that with sometime in the last year, the animal became a trefa. So if you had a vadai, if you knew, the Tosis would say, if you knew, if you did an MRI a year ago and the animal was clean, now you have a status quo chazaka, and that is assumed to remain as such until you know that it changes. And in the absence of any other factors, any other chazakas in play, you would say the status quo up until the last moment that changed. Now, other Rishonim comment on that, and I think they may accept the basic point, that to be a status quo chazaka, you have to have definitive knowledge at the time. It can't be definitive knowledge that looking backwards at some point it was. It has to be that you could have definitive knowledge at the time. You look at this animal, now you say, I know it's not a trefa. And that you don't have here. But they point out something else. There's another chazaka here. It's a chazaka da asini koch ruba. Most animals aren't trefos. That is not a contested point. So you could call it a rogue if you want, or you could call it a chazaka da asini koch ruba. So that many Rishonim disagree with Tosas. Tosas says that, and the Rush says that. Then many Rishonim disagree. The Rashba, the Ran. This is quoted in Tosas is in Nida based on the Beis. The Rush is in, I think, I can't remember, Simon Chavtetz in the first parak of Chulin. And the Beis Yos, the Torah Beis Yos, they quote all this material in Simon Pei Aleph in Yoredeah. In Simon Pei Aleph. So, but the other Rishonim say something very, very interesting. Despite the chazaka, they, I think, believe that the chazaka, the ase mikach ruba, does give the animal some kind of chazaka. However, they do say the following. If you know that this tarfus in the animal had to be mechayim when it was still alive, as opposed to, let's say, the needle in the stomach could have punctured the stomach after it died, maybe a dishchita, and then, as you're moving around, maybe the needle got there before it was alive, but the needle itself doesn't make it a trefa. But it punctures the stomach afterwards, so you can assume that, and you're fine. But if it's a trefa that had to have happened when the animal was alive, so then they say, you can no longer rely upon it. Why? Because once you know that mechayim, it was already a trefa, so you can no longer say, so obviously the animal's a trefa. I mean, the truth is we treat the animal as a trefa anyway, but you also can't say, okay, but I'm going to assume, once you lose the cheskas kashrus of mechayim, then you go all the way back. You can't arbitrarily pick a point mechayim when you think that chazaka changed. If you think the chazaka changed right now, when you did the shechita, that would be one thing. You would say, we had a chazaka that it was not a trefa, and now is when we assume a change. But once you already have to project back in time, the animal's chazaka changed, but you just don't know when, then you can no longer say, okay, I'm going to pick it arbitrarily at the last moment. Right? When all I know is that it changed, it's the same thing as Tosfos is saying, in effect, on the front end. When I can say the Chasaka just changed, I assume it just changed. Once I can't say that it just changed, then I have to, in effect, go back until the last time that I knew for sure that it was kosher. But on the assumption that if it could have happened now, do I project back in time and ask for the Gavinas? So Tosa says yes, you do. Because there was no chazaka of status quo that was mevureres. It wasn't known b'shaita. It couldn't have been known b'shaita. You could never look at the animal and said, oh, kosh kas kashas now. And the other Rishonim say no. That you have a chazaka based upon a rov. And therefore, you can assume earlier, not because you know, because a majority of animals, in effect, gives you, you might call that, it generates a status quo chazaka, I'm not sure it really matters, that the animal was not a treifa. And if the only thing you know is that right now it's not a treifa when you first look at it, well, we'll assume it just happened now. If you can't assume that it just happened now, if you have to assume that it happened while the animal's alive, then even they agree that you can no longer pick an arbitrary point. You can't just say, you know, clearly if you have a treifa that takes time to develop, it takes at least a month to develop. So you might have been tempted to say, okay, we'll make it, all the milk that was milked from a month before the animal died, we'll treat as treifa. No, no. Once you have to go back, once the animal mechayim no longer has, you know, was already not a kosh, not chera, it was a treifa. So now that chazaka is gone, and you don't know where to put the ibut, where to be ma'abid the chazaka. You go back in time to the last known point. Well, no, no. Only problem mafreya if you didn't know bevadaus that it was kosher. So let me give you an example that you're looking at, even though it's more complicated for other reasons. If you had no chazaka on an object, whether it was tameh or tahor, right, which is probably impossible, but let's have this hypothetical object. And you have a mikvah that was measured last month and it had 40 sa'anim. And now you tovel something in it, and then tomorrow you find that it doesn't have 40 sa'anim anymore. So what would the halacha be there? L'chulei alma. Again, you have a mikvah shenimdad v'nimsa chaser, but a month ago it was malak, it was full, it was kosher as a mikvah. If I have an object that has no chazaka that I matvil in this mikvah, what's the status of the object? Well, it's vada, that's not a safek. Right? But I don't know how you take an object. There is no such thing, really. But imagine I have this object that every object begins life with the cheskes tara, because when the object is being first created, it has no tumma associated with it. As soon as you finish it, then it can become tummy. So, but let's suppose I had this object. Imagine it's kind of like, you know, in the material world, Joni, it's the equivalent of the square root of negative 1. It's an imaginary object. So, what would the din be if I was machpel in the mikvah? Mikvah shenimda v'nim sachaser. No. You're wrong. The object's tahor. The only reason in the sugya nida why it's tameh is because you have a cheskas tumah on the object. In other words, in the way the sugya nida that I hope you've seen lays it out is, on the one hand, you have mikvah shenimdad and was kosher, but now it's chaser lefanecha, and then with the cheskas tuma of the guy or the stuff, it's tarti keneged chada.
Well, that was necessary for it to be vada. If you saw it kosher with it, you wouldn't even say safek tuma in this case.
Hillel's din is a din to rabbana. Kind of the Rabbana. So Medina, again, you can't have such a thing. It's not a good example. My point is that the reason why the mikvah is the way the mikvah is because when you put something in the mikvah, that tells you already, you know, you're dealing with something with a cheskas tuma. But fundamentally, the status quo does not change. Once you know that an object has a status, you have a vadai chazaka, it changes at the last possible moment. That's the general rule. That's, you know, as if I find it all of a sudden now, okay, now, again, unless I can't say that. Right.
Would the remaining object be equal to the case, or just anything that's like a Sabek Hameh?
What's that?
The great Israeli has got star because it's Sabek Hameh.
And the problem with the Sabek Hameh is that it has the Cheskes Tara in the first place. But again, Safek Tum is also, as you know, very complicated anyway, because Brishas Aram, it should be Tov, Brishas Yachad, it should be Tameh. So most Sveikos should theoretically really be, if they remain a Safek, it should be Sveikos Dinat de Rabbanan. But conceptually speaking, a status quo Hazakah that is known with certainty, and now you know that it changed, when you know that it changed, assuming it could have changed then, that's when it changed. That's the way we work. Ellie?
Just to be clear, Tosfot are only talking about the status of the milk or cheese that is produced within the last 11 months.
Yes, yes, that was what Altaret, yes, absolutely. Because before the last 12 months, it's Vadai.
It's not a Hazakah.
The fact that I didn't know it at the time is irrelevant. Right? It's a Vadai, it was kosher, so that's not a problem. It just doesn't, it doesn't carry over. It doesn't create a status quo Hazakah according to Tosfot. Because at no point could you, a status quo Hazakah means I look at it and I ascertain this is Becheskas X. Couldn't have done that. Gabe?
So in the case that I'm making before, we're saying there was for sure power.
That is the case.
Right, and
we now
know it is
Chaser. Now it's Chaser.
So we're saying we should assume it was power up until the very last
possible
right. But so the Gemara though makes a distinction, sounds like it's making a distinction between whether it's possible to say that there was a gradual shift?
Yes. But the Maskanas HaGemara, the Gemara thought that that would be the distinction between that and Shammai's position when it comes to Daya Shaita. But then the Gemara said, no, it's true, it could be potentially true by the woman as well. So the Gemara instead says that HaChatarti HaChachada. Now, it is true, by the way. I imagine that if we would look at a mikvah that had 60 sa'ah, I'm sorry, a mikvah that had 40 sa'ah, and now we check a month later, it's got 30 sa'ah. You know, unless you're assuming somebody came in and drained it, of course, we're probably going to argue and project backwards. But if that's possible, right, it's easier to deal with a case where it's not evaporation. Right. In other words, something happened in this mikvah. There was a crack that let everything. In other words, for example, and this is this complicated question of Chassid Vos. But let's say I have a mikvah, and it's got and there's a crack where once the water drains out of that, and it will drain relatively quickly, you'll have less than 40 saw. Right. So that drained quickly. The only question is when did the crack develop? That's all. Okay. And so there we would say, our default option, if in the absence of all the chazakos, the crack developed the last possible moment. Okay? Okay, so the one thing that we can say about the status quo chazaka. And I don't know that anybody really disagrees with Tosos on the basic principle, which is that it has to be mevureres bismana. It's got to be that I would know, either I knew or had I been, now I know, that I would have known at that point. I would have known. We can identify at a given moment in time now that it's this. That's what creates a status quo. Retrospective status quo chazakas cannot be created. Ellie?
What's the svara lachali between something that you could have known then but only know now and something that you know now but couldn't have known then? If the point is that when the cow turned one, it had been, in fact, not a tree.
So what do you think?
He seems to be building this up only exists if it could have been consistently applied at any given point.
You're restating it, but that's not an explanation.
Well,
Elimelech, what sayest thou?
I mean, it seems like there is almost this, no chazaka, so it's not just become a chazaka one way or chazaka the other way, in that, and you can only gain that chazaka with sufficient evidence at one given point in time. Even if we can kind of retroactively establish what was, that only goes as far as to say what happened in the past for any sort of chazaka to carry forward. That has to be actually established at a discrete point in time.
Have you added anything? I mean, you've explained nicely.
No.
I asked a question, but you answered a different question. You explained it nicely. But I asked a question, why? That was his question. Why, Ryan? No, because by again, Tsaras wouldn't be comparable, because there, if you didn't know it at the time, you also don't know it retrospectively. I mean, it's a very, very formalistic. I mean, you're copying out anyway with Xeris HaKasif. It's what you're doing. But then I would ask you, Ephraim, why? Like the little kid who's here first asking, why?
Don't
I thought I have... Well, so that's very, very so now you're going down an important road, which is, firstly, I'm surprised none of the physics geniuses have suggested, you know, Schrodinger's dead cat. Is it? The cat?
Yeah.
Well, no, what I'm suggesting, and it's not really that. The question is, does the knowledge of the observer create a reality? And something that's unknowable to the observer just isn't real. I mean, I just started to think about that now, because of a different consideration. I described the status quo of Chazaka as which one of Newton's laws? You said it would be two? Three? And objects that in motion tend to stay in motion. But what if you don't know whether the object's in motion or not, or stationary?
Can't assume it.
What's that?
Can't assume anything.
But I know, looking backwards, it must have been in motion.
No, but now you know it's stopped. Because now you've opened it up and you know it's a trace up. So you don't know how long ago it was a trace up. You see the mikvah is no longer full. So you just don't know when the cat tipped over the poison. That's the problem.
Right. So it's your cat. Once you open the, if you later open the box and now see the cat is dead, you don't know when.
So then that might fit very well, because...
Well, the whole point is that now you know it's dead, but until you open the box, it's not that you didn't know, right?
No, it's specifically that you don't know. It is you looking at the part, the Heisenberg's particle, and I'm now figuring out where it is.
My point is that, if I understood what I meant in the analogy, is the mere fact that when the box is closed, the cat can be dead or alive. It's not just that you don't know. It's not just that you know. It's unknowable or unknown, definitionally. So that is a little bit analogous to this chazaka. In other words, if you couldn't be looking at it back then it doesn't count for back then. Right? Now the cat's dead or alive. I don't know what we have against this poor cat, but back then it was definitionally not dead or alive.
Isn't that the point of Chazaka? To tell you that it had some status when you don't know?
Yes, but the point is it had to be knowable back then. You had to have been, if the box, it's like the box was locked. So you couldn't open the box, even. You couldn't open the box.
Well, no.
So you're right in the sense that if we didn't open the box, so in that way it's different. In other words, we don't have to, although I don't know what would be with the cat anyway, supposing we have, you know, yeah, this is, I mean, I'll let you think about if you want to play with that. The simple answer might have been, as Ephraim hinted to, but it's formalistic. In other words, if we have posited three, in other words, when you say that chazaka of status quo, is the chazaka of status quo telling me information or telling me how to behave? So I would think that according to Tosfos, it's just telling me how to behave. And I think the other Rishonim might agree, but what do they say about the chazaka of the status quo? They say it derives from what? Chazaki de asimi koch ruba, that's something different. You would agree that if I were to posit there's a chazaka that this six-month-old cow is not a trefa, because most cows are in trefos, you would probably agree that that chazaka is actually giving me information of likely, you know, about this thing. It's not just that it's telling me what to do. It's not just, if we can use the term machria, it's mevarer what this cow is, until otherwise proven. But the chazaka of status quo, unless you say, you know, the only way to explain the chazaka of status quo, but even that, I think, listen, what's inside my Gemara? What? What's on the pages? Bava Basra. How do you know? It was. And what basis? Because it was a Bava Basra, so still Bava Basra. Is that a status quo chazaka, or is that, what are the odds that a Malach came and substituted the pages above Metzia in an invisible way that none of us can see? That would be a very neat trick for Purim. Very unlikely is correct. I'm not going to ask you to put a number on that, but very unlikely. So, status quo chazaka, if it's predicated upon a rove, Rishonim say, I can assume, and I think it's for the, I can assume that that works. If it's just because I know now that it was a chazaka then, so if it's just a formalistic rule, right? Let's take the mikvah case, for example. The mikvah shenim devenim tzachaser. Can you say that it more probably became chaser yesterday, the crack in the wall? Can you say that it more likely, you know, leaked out yesterday or the day before or the day before? The answer is no. There's no reason to assume it happened more one than the other. It could happen any day equally. So that can only be a status quo chazaka. Whereas certain kinds of chazakas are things that there's in advance, or I guess the good analogy by my Gemara would be, supposing I opened it up and Eilu Mitzia Shalova Eilu Chayav Bahachris. Okay, when did the Malach substitute the pages? Eli Malach? Say that? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Where is the discrete point where that chazaka is observed such that it's now in the consideration of a status quo?
Well, they measured the mikvah a month ago, and it was good. It was above the line. So now you have a status quo chazaka. The mikvah has 40 sign it or more.
What about the person who's status quo?
So they... We know also. We know they become it. They were playing with... With the Geico Gecko, and then the Geico Gecko kicked the bucket, so now they're touching one of the Shmona Shratzim. He gave the Geico Gecko a proper send-off. Okay, so he's Vaday Tame. He's Vaday Tame, no question about it. So those are two status quo chazakas.
What about the case where the
object in question is, well, why are you putting in the mikvah? That's why I have, in reality, a problem coming up with the case. But let's say the object had a cheskas tara. I have a great case to show you that. Okay, let's say you find, I don't know if this will introduce a third chazaka. The Geico gecko, does he have a name? And then the Geico gecko, I don't know. So the Geico gecko you find dead, floating in a mikveh. And you, I mean, this is really not a mikveh anymore. And the mikveh is chaser. And if the mikveh is chaser, then the water is going to be tameh. As opposed to being, the mikveh is never mitara sheretz, but if there's 40 sa, it won't become tameh. So now it's possible for the 40 sa to become tameh. But supposing you had gone, you were tara, and you'd gone swimming in this mikveh. And you don't know when, let's say even better, let's say the gecko was there the whole time. But he was in his own little chamber, so you didn't touch him. But you go to the mikveh, and you need to know whether the water is tameh or not. So if the water was chaser before you went in it, you went swimming in the mikveh. So if the water was chaser before you went in it, then the water becomes tameh and you become tameh. Probably, although it's probably only the rabbanon, because the water, unless it's, I don't think tameh b'chibur applies to shvatim. So the water is a rishon and you are, I don't know. So you go to the mikveh in there. So the halacha would probably be that since the mikveh had a cheskas kashras and you have a cheskas tara, but now the mikveh is chaser and tameh, we would probably say that you're a tahar. We wouldn't even call it a safek, I think. Think so. I mean, because it's a twofer here. Right? The mikveh is cheskas kashras and you're b'cheskas tahar.
How are you b'cheskas tahar?
But you were tahar before, we knew. You had gone to a different mikveh. You had to chap all the Lashon Hara Erev Shabbos. So you first went to one mikveh in Borough Park and then you went to the... I had a chavrusa who told me, a chavrusa in college, who told me that the best Lashon Hara is you have to go to the mikveh in Borough Park Erev Shabbos.
Okay.
I never took up on that suggestion, but okay. Gabe?
I'm so confused where the whole thing happened. It said, Tosus is Mechadish, that if we have a Chazak, if we have a Chazaka that was not possible to be known at the time, then that's not called a Chazaka.
That's not a legitimate. In other words, just on the basis of a status quo. If you want to say, since we know it was that way, we assume it remains that way.
Until
we know that it changed, you have to be able to, the Shaito, say, I know that it is this way. Then we can say we find it the other way. It happened the last possible moment.
When it comes to this animal, so even though right now it's 3 years old, and as we know the first 2 years of its life, it's not been a shape.
Correct.
When it was 2 years old, we did not know that it was not a shape.
Correct, because so you only knew then it was only not a trefa for the first year of its life. And when you go back to the first year of its life, you have no idea.
Okay, so therefore right now, even though at this one time we know the first year there was not a shape, and therefore we would have thought to say that it has a chazaka that was not a shefa, and therefore everything is kasha until we prove that it is a shefa.
Right, which is right now, and therefore the cheat, we don't say, right.
Okay, now the question is why? Why do you have known at the time that it was not a shefa in order for me to have a chazaka that is not a shefa, as opposed to just knowing now?
Correct. Knowing retrospectively. That was the question. Why?
And nobody has given any answer.
Not really, other than I think it seems to be, if you regard the status quo chazaka, is not along Newton's. You know, Newton says that, and not as a principle of fact in the world, that things tend to remain the same until they change, which really is kind of almost a mikach ruba, but doesn't work in certain circumstances because it's not, you know. Well, let's take the mikvah example, right? In the mikvah example, when the crack develops and now it falls below, we know how it was chaser, right? It was chaser basically at once in bevasachas. We just don't know when that bevasachas was. So we would say the status quo. We would say the split happens at the last possible moment that it could have happened. But why is that? Is that some force of the universe that things are, you know, that objects that are in motion tend to stay in motion, and that's just the way it is? That tells us mivara somewhere, or the answer is no. It tells us There's no Prince. No. There's no Newton's third. You know, third law, operating status quo. It's just a way of being machria. Simply a way of being machria. Alter. You mean if the leg got cut off?
Yeah. Because then you could have known.
Yes, I think that's correct. If you would know when it would be, I mean the, right. Well, I mean the truth is that would not come on necessarily after shechit even. You'd walk up to the animal and say, "Yeah, oops, buddy, you lost a leg somewhere," and then we have to decide how many, you know, they've been milking you, and the guy who milked you, passed on to the next world, and we have no idea. He didn't know anything from anything, so he wouldn't know of trefa if it kicked him in the face with its missing leg. So the question is what would we do then? And the assumption we would make is, I think the last possible moment until I got cut off. I believe so.
We never had a
test of
conscience, so we never knew
it was not. No. The animal has only one trefa now. It's got only missing a leg.
Meaning we've also checked the internal organs?
No, we could do that after. So you don't have to. We'll assume. We don't know. Right now, the point is, let's assume the internal organs turn out to be kosher. So the only trefa we're being done over is the leg.
We didn't know at any point that it was not a trefa.
We did know at a certain point that this leg was not a trefa. I don't have to worry, because it's not like, again, this is only a question if something has now shown itself as a trefa, and we know back at a certain time it didn't have that trefa, but we don't know when, but we're not sure what in the interim period. But here, in other words, back when the animal was a shleima, we knew it had four legs. So from that vantage point, for this, it was not a trefa. Now, from this, it is a trefa, and the question is, when did this happen? So since we would have known that it had four legs when it had four legs, therefore, but we don't know when it lost that fourth leg, so then I think Alter's correct. We assume the last possible moment. I don't think it's just a shame of the animal. It's the particular, in other words, we're only raising the question here. We know it wasn't the trefa in the first 2 years of its life, but we know it's a trefa now. And the question is, when did this trefa, this tarfus happen? So I understand what you're saying, but I would assume that when we say the cheskas kashrus, it means from the things that we find are a trefa now. That's all. Not from the things that we don't even find are a trefa now.
You're saying this animal, the kid post discussing the third year we found it a trefa. At year two, we could not have known that it didn't have this particular thing.
At that time, yes. I
didn't read Tosus, but I was understanding that what we were saying was just that Tosus doesn't think a chazak or dafikah. He's not holding this chazak or dafikah well, and he's saying that you have to have known at the time that it was actually not a shayfa. So in this case also, you don't know that it was not a shayfa.
Well, I mean,
it's knowable. I think that's the difference. Not knowable, because you would have seen the animal.
No, he's asking. Gabe is asking a different question.
All trefas are together. You either see a trefa or isn't a trefa. It doesn't matter whether you know it has a missing leg or you know it's got a
whole right. Even if you see it with four legs, but you don't know it's not a trefa, it has something else.
Right. So I don't think Tosus would say that. I have to go back and look at the language of Tosus to be explicit. But I wouldn't assume that. I would assume that it's over this particular. If in fact the animal has no surface, no lungs, no holes in any of its organs, doesn't now. And we don't have to talk about when did it get these things, which it doesn't have. We're only focused on the animal would be a trefa at a certain point because of its leg. And regarding that leg, so we would know when it wasn't a trefa. It had a, let's put it this way. It had a chazak of having four legs.
Okay, but is Tosus not saying that he's trying to figure out what creates a cheskas kashrus? He's saying that you have to have known.
A cheskas kashrus in light of the fact that it's no good now. Right? The Gemara says, kevin shenishchata, so it's becheskas kashrus ashivada lachamane nishrafa. Right? The problem is that we find something that was a trefa that in this case was mechayim. The default option is, once you do shechita on an animal, you don't assume it's a trefa until you discover that it's a trefa.
Because it grows?
No, because of the trefa that you find later is not projected back. When the Gemara says achivad achlan nitrefa means you find something that could render it a trefa, but as opposed to when you have a suffix whether you did the shechit, now that you find a knife. You find a knife with a pagam after you did the shechita. After you did the shechita, you then stupidly with your shechita chalaf, you chop bones, which is a dumb thing to do. You don't do that. Now you find the pagam in the sakin, and the question is, you know, or maybe you're afraid, you know, when you shecht it goes through and might have nicked the spine, which might have damaged the knife. So there, the animal started out with a cheskas that it didn't have a proper shechita, and now you're trying to figure it didn't have a proper shechita, and you have a knife that's got a pagam in front of you, but you don't know when the pagam has happened. By the trefa, when the Gemara says becheskas kashas achivah nitrefa, it means that you find it's a trefa now, and you're trying to figure out when this trefa happened. Now, what you do know, I think what Tosis is saying, is you do know that the trefa didn't happen until year three of the animal's life. And Tosis says it doesn't matter, because now you know that in year one and two it didn't have this trefa. But in year two, you didn't know it didn't have the trefa in year two. And in year one, you didn't know it didn't have the trefa in one. So I think that Alpha is correct, is that if we're talking about this trefa, yes, we don't know for sure that there aren't. It turns out there were no other trefas in the animal. Otherwise, we'd be raising the issue. The only problem with this animal now is it's got three legs. It's got three legs. And the answer is, in the year one and year two, when obviously it had four legs, I also would have known that. And therefore, I'm entitled to assume that it lost its leg at the last possible moment. I think so.
Janet speaking, the Gemara said that an animal cut its kashas until...
It says, but again, what that means is, when you find it to have something that makes it a trefa now, once the shechita has been done properly, we assume that the trefa, tarfos, happened afterwards, unless we have evidence to... And as it could have happened after the shechita, in a way that doesn't render the animal trefa, or it could have happened before the shechita, we assume that it happened afterwards. That's what the Gemara means.
Is the Gemara only applying in a case where it's impossible that, or very, very unlikely that it happened while the animal's still alive, or just that there's no reason to assume that?
From the Gemara, it sounds like, I don't know if you can tell. In other words, let's assume 50-50 just a moment to keep it simple. Elimela?
So to Gabe's point, do you really think of Chazaka in terms of, I guess, a lot of categories or particularly in the speech? I guess the interesting to highlight this is kind of the last part of the Gemara Nida, which, you know, talks about the wine barrel that possibly turned into vinegar.
Right. Well, yeah, but that's identical to the Nida case. Those are perfectly identical cases, right? You have, it was wine, but it is vinegar. And a chazak of teva. It had 40 sa, but it doesn't now. Cheska suma. Same thing. Am I missing the... What does that add? I don't know if I...
Kind of to Gabe's point, are we saying the initial chazakah is that of kashrus versus tarfos, or is it what the animal is?
My debate with Gabe is really when we define do we know what the animal is at a certain point? Do we know everything about the animal, or do we know that the part that's under consideration now? That's the only... in other words, I don't think there's a nafgamina, but if I find the animal has no sirchus in the lungs now, there's no nafgamina for saying, okay, well, I can assume it didn't have sirchus in the lungs earlier. I mean, I can assume that. It's true. It didn't. And if it has two kidneys now, I can assume that, well, the truth is a bad example, because if it's missing kidneys, apparently it's not a trait. But let's say it has the proper number of lobes in the lung and then the right alignment of left and right. I also know that it had that a year ago and 2 years ago. That would be a bad example because I don't think it could develop differently. If I find that the stomach is perfect with no indication of any hole anywhere, I know that 2 years ago and a year ago it had no holes. Now, is that a chazaka of not having a hole in the stomach? Well, what's the difference? It doesn't have a hole in the stomach now. There's no reason I would think it makes it a treifa. So I think that the focus is not on, does the animal have a, do we have no for sure the animal's not a treifa with any of the 18 treifas halacha mishumisina and no other diseases? The answer is no, but it doesn't matter. It only matters. The only reason we ask that question is for the one, you might form it, the question is, do we assume that the animal had a hole in its stomach? Do we assume that it had it 2 years ago or not? That's the only question. And the argument that when do we assume that it got this hole? When in the last year? And and you want to argue that there's a chazaka, I didn't have a hole in the stomach, because 2 years ago, you know, it did it. That's true, but 2 years ago, I didn't know about this thing, which it is treifa now, and I didn't know that it didn't have it then. It's true now I know that it didn't have it then, but then I didn't know that it didn't have it. So I think you can limit yourself to this particular issue. I don't think that's an issue. So I do believe, if you found that the animal only had three legs now, and that's the kind of thing you would have known to, you don't know. You do know that it didn't have three, it had four legs 2 years ago. And you also know at the time, you could look at the animal and say, one, two, three, four. It's got four legs. It checks that box. So then Tosus would agree that that's a chazaka mevuraris b'shaita. Right? You don't have to know then. You have to have been able to know then about this. Right? That's our dispute. It's, in other words, Gabe is asking a fair question, which is, well, I know it has four legs, but how do I know? It turns out it has no sirchas in the lungs and it has no holes in the stomach. But I didn't know that at the time. So I don't think that matters. I think it's just the particular treifa under discussion. Okay. So now we'll turn our attention to the Mishnah in Mikvaos, which gets everything start, gets the ball rolling downhill. Hard to stop it. So, Ellie, please.
Atamish yarad mitbol, safek tabal safek bo tabal. Afilu tabal, safek yeshbar ba yusa, safek ein bo. Shnei mikro, echad yeshbar ba yusa, echad she'ein bo. Tabal ba'chad mehem ve'i yodea, ve'izem mehen tabal, safek bo tabal.
Okay. So that's the first din. The first din, what the Mishnah is teaching you, is that if you have a gavras b'cheskas tuma, and then there's a suffeg whether he went into a proper mikvah. In other words, we don't know whether there's arbayim sa'ah in it or not. There are two mikvahs, and he went into one which is a kosher mikvah, which is a non-kosher mikvah. Right, these are all what you might call a suffeg hashafel, 50-50. And then or the first one, I left out. So let's say it's a suffix where you immerse yourself completely. Because to have a proper tefillah, your entire body must be immersed in the water. In fact, unlike the din of a chatzitza, the reason why a chatzitza prevents your tefillah from being good is because your whole body is not immersed in the water. But if you have a chatzitza where you're not makpid, then, in other words, it's a kind of chatzitza you don't care about. You have something on your head, but you don't make a difference. So it's like it's not there. It's as if you immerse the entire body in water. But if you leave, if you go down in the mikvah, and you're one of these guys who maybe, you know, you want to count, I don't know, what the some Hasidim do. They immerse seven times, maybe some people more. So, you know, it's very inconvenient to go up and down. I have an easier way of doing it. Flick your finger out of the water. And you can get multiple tefillah. I'm sure somebody's figured that out. But let's say you don't realize it, and you didn't realize that your finger had actually never made it under the water. You know, the water level is here. You go 1, 2, 3. And you thought, you know, that you were, your sense, your feeling in the fingers was not that accurate. So you're not sure whether you immersed completely. So the Mishnah says you're tameh. Why? Because when Gavra has a cheskas tuma, and then you're becheskas tuma until you know you went to the mikveh. Okay, fine. And this, by the way, I suspect that this din would apply even by tuma derabanan. I think the machlokas in the next Mishnah is unique to that case. Now the Mishnah says, and here's the money Mishnah. So what does this tell you? I apologize because I assume I didn't think. Some of you may have figured it out. Some of you may have looked at the Mefarshim. What's the relevance of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah here? Why does the Mishnah bother to tell you? Why would you think there's a distinction between the two? Safek Tuma Rosh Hashanah is Tahor. Safek Tuma Rosh Hashanah is Tameh. How do we know that? What's it learned from? Sota. Right, a Sota is a woman who becomes, it's not even Tuma in the classic sense, but it's Tuma Varayos. She's Nitmeis Labaila. And a Sota is by definition in the Rosh Hashanah. Why? So here's a beautiful brisker chiluk that the Gemara makes, which is that certain kinds of places are a Rosh Hasharabim L'Toma and a Rosh Hashayachad L'Shabbos. There are actually three different definitions of Rosh Hashayachad. What does that mean? It means the standard, the definition of what makes a Rosh Hashayachad versus a Rosh Hasharabim in the laws of Toma V'Tara is different than that what makes it for Hilchos Shabbos for carrying. And there's a third distinction, actually, which the Gemara doesn't draw in, the difference between Rosh Hashayachad and Rosh Hasharabim for Nezek. Or Nezek of Shor, Shein V'Regel of your ox. The definition of Rosh Hashayach and Rosh Hasharabim for Shein V'Regel, damages an ox, is dependent upon ownership and rights to be there, basically. And you know, Rosh Hashayach means private property that you're not allowed to be there, versus public property you are allowed to be there. It's not dependent on how many walls you are or how many people you have there. The definition of Rosh Hashayachad and Rosh Hasharabim for Shabbos is dependent upon how many walls you have and maybe several other factors. But it's primarily a four-walled space of not super, super large area, even if it's a large, but is considered midaraisa, certainly Rosh Hashayachad. Whereas in order to be Rosh Hasharabim, it has to not have mechitzos, it has to have a bunch of other features. But it's dependent. That's dependent upon, I'll call, physical construction and usage. And Lagabe Sota, Lagabe Tuma, the definition of Rosh Hashayachad versus Rosh Hasharabim is whether or not, how many people you have there. And because a sota, almost definitionally, performs her act when there is nobody but her and the bolal there, or so she thinks, that means when you have only two people there, that's who are simply there, that's a Rosh Hashayach. Once you have three people, it's no longer yichud for the sota, then that is not considered Rosh Hashayach, it's considered Rosh Hasharabim. So the definition of Rosh Hashayach and Rosh Hasharabim Lutuma is dependent upon whether people are walking through there or not. But the Torah says that when a sota has stira, when she has yichud, the Torah says, v'nistira, we say, I don't know which pasuk is derived from, we assume that a woman, once a husband warns her, and then she has yichud, al pi'edim, in violation, we assume that she's vaday asur l'baila, until she drinks from the waters of Sota, and the Ribbono Shalom clarifies that she, in fact, was not nifmes. So the Gemara says that Sota is a safek ba'asa ha-Torah ka'akasav kevadai, and from that they learn that a safek tuma b'rishus ha-yocher is vadai tameh, a safek tuma b'rishus ha-rabim is vadai tohar. So you might have thought to distinguish here, based upon where the mikveh is, that if the mikveh is in, let's say the mikveh is in a public place, I don't know how you define that, but I hope there's not a mikveh that people are stripping down right in the middle of the street. But if there are lots of people there, you know, in that type of Rosh Hasharabim, so you might have thought to say that this guy would be Tahar. Because Safek Tuma Rosh Hasharabim is Tahar. And obviously when the Mishnah assumes not so, it's because it's not a Safek Tuma, it's a Vaday Tuma. Why? Obviously, ultimately, it's going to be because of these Chazakos. Question, author? What's that?
I believe the bartender on this mission said that it doesn't apply because it's not the problem.
What doesn't apply?
This is the end of the Rosh Hasharabim.
The Mishnah says, I don't understand what the Mishnah says.
And the reason, Barnura says the reason
is
that you're
something
whether or not you're power, I'm something whether or
not you're something. Well, that's means the Chazakah. That's what he means by that.
He's going around
the suffix of becoming Tameh, Brishas Harabim is Tahor, but the suffix of becoming Tahor, Brishas, is irrelevant. No, I agree with you, by the way, that it is in fact a suffix, but in din it's a Vadai. That's my point when I say it's not a suffix. It is a suffix. What, maybe the mikvah was kosher we went in, but halacha treats it like it vaday wasn't. Okay, v'med v'mamurim.
V'med v'mamurim b'tumah chamura. V'la b'tumah kala k'gon achal olim v'shem hashkim t'meim ba'ar v'rosho v'rubot v'mayim v'shirubim o sh'nachlu ha'r v'rosho v'rubosh v'rosho v'rubim v'ayim v'shirubim v'yirad v'tbo t'fek t'vah 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 t'vah
And I presume, but I'm not sure, what does anybody say explicitly what the din is by the mikvah Sheninda Benim Sechaser? If it was a Tumah Darabana, what would the din be? I would assume it's the same thing, same machlokas, but I'm sure it's discussed. Okay, so bottom line is the Mishnah says that if you have a mikvah, if you have a mikvah that you don't know and has no chazakah, so if you have a mikvah that had a chazakah being kosher, and now the mikvah has a chazakah, you know, is no good, so the halacha is that you remain tameh. You remain tameh. And it sounds from the Mishnah to din of Adai, not a din of Safek. Okay. So now we turn our attention to the Mishnah in Nida. Benji?
So Shammai says all women are Dayan in the time. Hillel says no, it goes.
What does Dayan Shata mean? Correct. When they discover the bleeding, that's when they become Tameah. Not before them. We don't assume it was there until that particular moment. In other words, Hillel says, no, you have to go back to the last time she did a bedikah and found that she was Tahora, and you assume that from the moment after she finished then, she already became Anida. Now, continue. Right. The Chachamim Omrim. It means the lesser of the two. You go back either 24 hours or to the last time she did a bedika, whichever was more recent. So it's a max of 24 hours, and it might be less than that. Now the Gemara says, go ahead. No, you could skip. You can skip the rest of the Mishnah. Go ahead. My time at the Shammai. Right. Then when you say becheskas tahora, what does he mean? Why is a woman becheskas tahora? It means that she knew she was tahora before. She knew she was tahora before, and now she bleeds. So now she said, "Well, when did the bleeding start?" Okay, so Hillel Shita is suggested by the Gemara right now, and there are going to be multiple explanations, but this is the only one we're looking at because it's the one that's relevant to Chazakah. Hillel's explanation is that the Isha has a Reisa Migufa. What does that mean? It's actually not what it says. It might be similar to that, but it means I mean, it means that that the pagam is in other words, the same object that has a cheskas tahora, what makes it tame is not external but internal. So that might be the same thing as it's something that's asur l'shtanos. Now, although it's not the formulation the Gemara uses, it's reisas mikufa. Okay, so now the Gemara says, I don't think, it doesn't sound with that form, right? It sounds like other things become tamei from something external. She, it's something internal. Which means that her cheskas tara, but let's say the way Benji says it, just because it's easier to understand that. The cheskas tara doesn't really work if you know it's going to change. Right? The cheskas tara works because of Newton's third law for the moment. It will, by default, with no action, stay that way forever. But the woman is not going to stay that way forever. At least a young woman, right? You know that she's going to get her period. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so this question the Gemara will explain is against both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Go ahead. The Shammai, it's a much bigger kasha against Shammai in the sense that Shammai says that that's the woman is tahora until now. No l'mafreya, and yet by the mikvah we project backwards until the last time we know for sure that the mikvah was kasha. Okay, and then according to Hillel, so the Mishnah in Mikvahs assumes that you tell me Vaday. How do you know that? How do you know the Mishnah is assuming Vaday? Not Safek. See, here he's going to say, you don't know this yet, but what's the deal by Eish Meishav Anida? In the Meishav Anida, go ahead. Tolin.
So when the woman is
Tolin, you know what that means? Because you did Pesachim last year? Or, you did. You need the Rabbi Chinyas Kanakonim, but Ochlin, you can't eat it because maybe it's Tama. You can't burn it because maybe it's Tahor. And you can't be Ma'abed Kachim Tahorim. By Kachim, we have a simple solution. By Truma, it's not as easy. By Kachim, what do we do? What's that?
Buy it out?
No. Not by meat from a carbon. It's a Safek. Hekdesh Lam Isbeah. Kedusha Kufi King. Weid becomes Noser, right? To Ubar Tsurasa was the expression. Truma is more complicated. So there it's a. By Nida, it's a Safek. But by Mikra, it's a Vaday. How do you know it's a Vaday by Mikra? Even Rosh Hashanah. If it were Safek, Rosh Hashanah, you'd be Tahar. What's that? We know that from other Mishnayos. The Gemara here just makes reference to it. The Gemara is just telling you that then. That happens to the Takana that they made. Okay, so the Gemara says what? Okay, Benji? Right, so it's a kasha both against Shammai and Hillel. So the Gemara answers. So there you have a cheskas tumah for the gavra. Here the woman has a cheskas tara. Right? All you have by the woman is a cheskas tara, which you now know has changed. But by the mikvah you have a cheskas kashrus in the mikvah, which you know has changed. But on top of which you have a cheskas tumah of the person going to the mikvah or the stuff being put in the mikvah. So now the Gemara says, but you have another chazaka operating there. The mikvah was kasher originally. So the Gemara says, no, you can't just pull out that chazaka. It was kasher. You know it's pasul now. So the Gemara says, yeah. The woman is bleeding out, so she's definitely tamei now. Now you're asking how far back do you go? So if by the mikvah If Harei Chasl Lefanech is enough to push you all the way back to the last time you know for sure it was full, then the same thing should be true here. So the Gemara says, Hashtahu Tachasai. Now, we assume that she saw just now. That's when it happened. So now the Gemara immediately says, why don't you assume the same thing happened with the Mikvah? So the Gemara answers, awesome. So in other words, you, by a mikveh, you can assume that it happened slowly, gradually. Therefore, it's chasa lefanecha, and you don't know when it happened, so you go all the way back. By the woman, assumption is it doesn't not that it slowly builds up and then she bleeds. Whenever she bleeds, the blood comes out, short and short order. So the Gemara says, no, that in fact that when there's only a little bit of blood, there's not enough to kind of flow out, but it has to accumulate. So maybe it also, just like the mikvah, you can say, chazai v'asa, chazai v'asa. So the Gemara finally answers, this is the punchline. Right. In other words, there, by mikvah, we have two factors against you and only one in favor of you. The two factors against you are, number one, the mikvah is no good now. And number two, the gavra is tummy. And the only thing working in your favor is the mikvah once upon a time was kosher. Whereas here, all you have is that the woman who was once upon a time tahora, and now she's not. That's why Shammai says in the Mishnah, in mikvahs, the stuff is no good. It may be mevada. Here, the woman is tahora, because she's tahora until the first time you know that she's not tahora. And Hillel, who's machmir, for whatever reason he's machmir, would still say it's only a suffix here, because, and again, she had a cheskas tahara, she's tamei now. When did it happen? We don't know. We're going to treat it as a suffix. Whereas in mikvahs, you have the chisern of the mikvah now, combined with the cheskas tumah, the gavra, and that's enough to offset the cheskas kashrus that the mikvah originally had. Gabe.
How does this relate to
I'm sorry?
How does it relate to the principle of star focus of the Yafet Tameh? In our case, I'm assuming the Nida is in the house.
It's not a suffix, though. That's the point.
It is a suffix.
Oh, you mean the...
We don't know when she became Nida, and if she touched these Caleb, which were for sure Tahar. But everybody seems to be holding at least when they're
No, 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 no. It's not a midin the raisa. It's not a suffix.
Because
chazaka.
Chazaka of.
She's tahora, and now when she's bleeding, the assumption of a chazaka is that up until the last possible moment is when it changed. That's what a chazaka is.
But she's not vaday tahora though.
Well, she's vaday tamei now.
But we're not treating her as being vaday tahora all the time.
Shammai is, and Hillel would be mid
the
raisa.
But in the case of the mikvah. If we would say the same thing, we treat the mikvah as being vaday kasher, so then what is the fact that the chazaka doesn't change anything?
Somebody, when I taught this recently on my Shabbos here, somebody raised that question. So the answer to the question is that you're not just looking at the mikvah in that case, you're looking at the situation. That's why I was trying to establish before for you, if you didn't have a cheskas tumah on the gavra, Yudvadei be tahar, whatever that means. That again, we our imaginary object, which is neither cheskas tumah cheskas tara. For some reason, you put in the mikvah, and you know. So the assumption of the mikvah, if you're only looking at the mikvah itself, we would assume that from the vantage point of the mikvah, it was shared to the last possible moment. But the problem is, it's not a closed system. You also have a person involved here, and the person had a cheskas tumah. So when you say, did this person become Torah or not? So you can't do the math first on the mikvah and say, okay, mikvah is always kasher. Oh, now the guy is Torah because he went into a mikvah that was certainly kasher. You have to look at all the factors together. And in this corner we have the mikvah had a cheskas tara. On the other, in this corner we have the fact that the mikvah is no good now. And the guy started out with a cheskas tuma. And we don't know that he became Torah. So before, in other words, before you can be machriya with the status quo chazaka, that everything, that when he went to the mikvah was still good, first you have to look at all the factors together. You don't get to In other words, what you're asking to do is to basically take these two things, mikvah shenim that originally was kshar, and now it's the mikvah chasar. Let's play this game, and once this game is over, now let's go deal with the gafa. What the Mishnah is saying is that you can't do that. You can't. When you look at the situation, you have to look at the entire situation.
Why should it be that whether or not this gafa has chesed, how is that affecting the mikvah? I mean, the mikvah was either kosher or not kosher.
Well, the only relevance of the mikvah is for the people who've used it in the interim.
Okay.
So you can't look at just the mikvah itself, decide what the mikvah was, and say, okay, now that we know that the mikvah was kshera, he's tahar.
Okay. So, well, why can't you say that the mikvah was a safek? And
if the mikvah was a safek, and the gavra d'ches gastoma, then he retains his chazaka.
Right. Right. But then in the case of the nidah, let's say she was also a safek, so when she dealt with Kayla, then she's tahar, okay, we're not going to stop Kayla.
No, but what's that?
So
yeah, by Nida. And by Nida, it's very straightforward. Because you don't.
She doesn't care. I mean, the Kayla went Tahar.
She was Tahar.
Well, we have a stop at what she was.
No. She started out as Tahar.
Okay.
The Kayla or the Tara started out as Tahar. You know now that she's become Tameya.
Right.
But in terms of valuing the Kayla or the stuff she touched had a Cheskas Tara too.
Right.
If it was Tameya, then we wouldn't care about it. None of this would matter. So the point is there, if anything, the cheskas tahara of the stuff plus the cheskas tahara of the woman would defeat the fact that the woman's tamei now.
We're not saying her as valid in tahara, though. Aren't we just saying
no.
What she was?
No, we are. We are treating her as valid tahara. That's what the chazaka does for you.
Which chazaka?
The chazaka of the status quo there. Because when you here again, I agree. What you're highlighting, Gabe, is that when you look at the mikvah itself in a closed system, the mikvah is tahora until the last possible moment, and the same with the woman was towards the last possible moment. But once you have to evaluate something else, you know, namely the kli that you put in the mikvah, so you can't now evaluate. You don't get to evaluate the mikvah first. Render a conclusion and say, okay, well, the kli is tahor. You have to look at everything in the big picture. What factors do we have pointing to the tahor of the kli and to the tzum of the kli? Well, the tahor of the kli is that the mikvah was kosher, and you immersed in this mikvah. What's going against you is that the mikvah is no good now, and it became no good at a certain point, we don't know when. And number two, the kli is a cheskas tumah. So it's a two against one. The woman, the stuff that she's touching has a cheskas tahor. But let's ignore that for the moment. I mean, let's take it into account for the moment if you want. The woman is Cheskas Tahara, the stuff is Cheskas Tahara, the woman is now Tamea. She's not touching the stuff anymore, she touched it earlier. So that's also two against one, in favor of Tahara.
I'm asking, why are we assuming that she was... Can we explain that maybe we don't know that she was Vada? We're not saying she was Vada Tahara.
She won't, no. You have to assume she's Vada Tahara. She started out, she had gone to the mikvah at some point, she wasn't bleeding. She knew.
No, I mean, clearly she was. I'm saying, but...
And now...
If she touched this Kalim, why can't we say that we don't know what she was?
We don't know. You're correct. We don't know, Bavade,
well,
what she is.
Kalim has Tahara, so that's what they're going to say to her.
Well...
Like we're not going to change it.
Well, I think that I would argue to, even if it were neutral somehow, you can't get a case by Tumah Tahara. It's neutral, because things are either Tahara or Tumah. They're Cheskas Tahara, Cheskas Tumah. But if I can come up with the neutral case for you, I think we did, right? The person who goes to the mikvah with the sheretz, or we find cases outside. In this case, the woman has a, we would decide when did she come to me, the answer is when she first discovered the bleeding. And now you're worried about stuff she touched in between. Well, firstly, from the vantage point of just the woman herself, she's not to me until later. And the stuff has a cheskas tahara. Of course it's a tahara. That's no surprise. What's more interesting is in the tumah case we say because the stuff had a cheskas tumah and you put it in the mikveh, even though the mikveh had a chazaka being shared because it's no good now it's a two against one.
I'm asking why are we assuming that she has the status of being vada tahor?
Well, she had it until now.
Okay.
Until she discovered the bleeding. In the same way that the mikveh had it until you discover it's chazaka, because you would once measure the mikveh and had for yourself. The woman had once been a tahora, she had done her bedikos and so on, gone to the mikvah necessary, and that's it. And now in both cases, now at the end of this time, when we're first starting to ask the question, the mikvah is chasera, the woman is tamei. And the only question is, when did they become? And if all we're looking at, in both cases, of those two factors, the answer is she became tamei, it became chasera at the last possible moment. What makes it complicated is that now you're evaluating that with respect to something else.
Okay. And so that's going to be why we're not taking into account Sarah Tom, which is the epic.
Correct. It's not a suffix. It's a vada. Yes.
I mean, even before we figure out what she's touching, we're just looking at her without that thing.
She'd be vada.
She's vada.
Yeah. That's what Shammai would say. Ellie?
Is it clear from the Gemara? Gemara's just sort of hard to clear it up. Whether that is predicated on the previous assumption of chasarata, or whether that is rejects that or functions independently of that?
I think it's irrelevant.
Well, I think it would be relevant in the application of other cases. In other words, is the tarte ve'ruta the fact that now the mikvah is chaser and the fact that there's a chaser?
No, I'll tell you why I think it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because the Gemara here is saying that even though it is conceivable that it happened gradually, we still, because it's possible it happened at the last moment, we assume it happened at the last moment. If it was impossible to happen at the last moment, then everybody would agree. You project back in time, at least until it must have happened.
Right, but
so I don't think it's
here.
What?
Do you need it to be probable, likely, whatever exactly we are, that it happened gradually in order to save this? It's relevant for...
What I'm saying is that the crack in the mikvah, it's relevant in what, for what?
It's relevant, so it's a tempted application of this Gemara, in that there's no reason, there's no presumed reason in that case why there'd be any reason why it should happen gradually.
It definitely doesn't happen gradually in the case it is, but I would say even if it's a crack in the wall of the mikvah, same thing. If we were just evaluating the mikvah itself, then we assume the crack in the wall happens sometime, the answer is the last possible moment. Yeah. And then it's fine. That's not going to be a distinction between that and the case of the
seven years. The tarte ve'ruta is not the cheska tuma plus the gradual.
No. It's the cheska tuma plus chaser lefanecha. Okay. Any other questions?